Good evening, everyone. Good to see you. Welcome back to Mind Games 2. We're having a good time. I hope you guys had a good first week. I enjoyed myself. I hope that y'all enjoyed yourselves as well. Who's tonight is your first time for this series? Who didn't make it last week, but you're here tonight for the first time? Welcome. Welcome. It's good to see you all. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Xavier Small, and I am the counseling pastor here at Rosedale. I'm a licensed therapist, but I'm also on the pastoral staff here at Rosedale. So if you've heard me say it before, that I really enjoy being able to help bridge the gap between, you know, the church and mental health. We are in for a great time. So I want to do some quick housekeeping stuff really quickly before we jump into our session tonight. The first thing is that I've had several people inquire about therapy. I am booked solid for months. All right, booked solid for months. And so, and I'm the only counselor here at Rosedale. But I do have a really beautiful referral list that I have put together of some resources that I trust that work. So if you or someone you know is in need of mental health services, but you don't know where to look, I'm happy to consult and help you point you where to go. And also I have a reference sheet for some general areas here in our area that offer both in-person and telehealth services if you're interested. Okay. We are in session two. Last week we talked about emotional acknowledgement, and we're going to build on this like you would build math, right? 1 + 1, then you start doing multiplication, division, then you start doing algebra, and so on and so forth. And so if you miss a class, you're going to miss out. But you're in luck, because Mind Games, the Mind Games series is going to be available, is available on podcast. This is a QR code to my podcast, Martian Talk. And Martian Talk, I've wiped all of the other stuff on it except for the things that we've been doing in workshops. So if you missed the first Mind Game series, it's there. If you weren't here with me for the Eye to Us series, it's there. And then episode one is on there from last week. Who's been getting my emails? All right, wonderful. So it says 82 out of 88 of y'all got it. So I don't know who got it and who didn't, but if you're having issues or you don't know where to go or what to do, please reach out to me. That QR code will take you to this landing page, all right? And so it's a Spotify-based account. You'd have to sign up to make an account for that. But if you don't have Spotify, you can click more platforms, and I believe there are 8 or 9 other platforms where Martian Talk is available. So if you get there and you're like, I'm not sure where to go or what to do, then that is your way to find another way out. Okay? So we are going to dive into session two today, emotional awareness. So I think I mixed it up. Last time we talked about emotional acknowledgement. Today we're going to talk about emotional awareness. And so I'm not going to make the same mistake I made last time. We're going to pray and ask God for his help, and then we're going to jump in here and see what God has to say about us having good emotional intelligence. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for your Son, for the finished work on the cross. Father, I pray that you would take this time and speak to these people the way that you spoke to me. I pray for those listening later that they would be just as encouraged, and God will give you all the honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, and we're thankful. Amen. All right, so last time we talked about, again, emotional acknowledgement, and today we're talking about emotional awareness. My goal is that by the end of the 8 weeks that we have together, that you would feel more emotionally intelligent. More emotionally intelligent. And last time we did a breakdown of the different forms of emotions, the way that we're trying to lay it out for the class. But tonight we're going to focus on emotional awareness. Emotional awareness. Emotional awareness, by definition, refers to the ability to recognize, understand, and accurately label one's own emotions as well as the emotions of others. Again, emotional awareness refers to the ability to recognize, understand, and accurately label one's own emotions as well as the emotions of others. It involves, again, being attuned to one's feelings and being able to differentiate between those emotions, as well as understanding the reasons behind those emotions. Emotional awareness also encompasses an awareness of how emotions can influence thoughts, behaviors, and interactions with others. It involves being mindful of one's emotional experience and being able to regulate and manage emotions effectively. Emotional awareness is a key component of emotional intelligence. That's our landing page, right? We want to get to emotional intelligence, and is essential for maintaining healthy relationships, making sound decisions, and overall psychological well-being. All right, so we want to get to the place where we are the ones manhandling our emotions not manhandling us, right? You heard me use the example last week. It's like whenever you are dealing with your emotions, it's almost like water coming out of a faucet, right? And you being able to turn the handle, you get to dictate how much water comes out of that faucet, right? But if you're not careful, then the emotions, negative emotions, will manifest themselves. It will compound, it will get worse, and then it's like breaking the handle off the faucet. And then you gotta, and I gave a whole long laundry list of things that involve you having to call a plumber to turn your water off. It becomes a mess. So we have to become more emotionally aware. I'm gonna talk more about what that means. But you guys know I have two hats. What's the first hat? What's the second hat? Oh, y'all been around a little bit. I like it. We're going to talk about what God has to say first, right? We're going to talk about what God has to say. Does God think we should be emotionally aware? Now, you guys know me. I'm a big, giant, huge, fat, proportion. You know, I'm just a big proponent of therapy. But there is a great physician who is not Xavier. There's a great physician who's the strength of 10,000 therapists. Right? And that's who we're going to look at first. We're going to see what God has to say. Does God want us to be emotionally aware? Of course he does. Of course he does. And so we're going to look at a few scripture passages about this. So first we'll look at Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a sorrowful or a broken spirit drieth the bones. We're going to break this down a little bit for your notes. So here we see some important components. First, we see that emotions have a direct tie to our bodies. Emotions have a direct tie to our bodies. What does he say? He said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a sorrowful or a broken spirit drieth the bones. There is a direct connection. You hear me, y'all? There's a direct connection between your mental and emotional state and your physical state. You have to know that. If you know much about me, when I teach wellness to my clients or in groups like this one, you have to know that you are multifaceted. You are mental. You are emotional. You are physical. You are physiological. You are spiritual. You are existential. And you have to have it's important for you to remember that all five of those cylinders have to be clicking. You understand? Nod your head yes. All five of those cylinders have to be clicking. Why? Because the moment that one of those are off, it's going to knock you off kilter. You understand? They are not mutually exclusive facets of who you are. They are all interconnected. And if one of those areas begins to fall apart, you're going to start seeing it resonate in other areas. But the scriptures lets us know that a merry heart, we're going to break it down some more. A merry heart is medicinal. It's medicinal. There are medicinal benefits from being able to be in a joyful, and even, I know it's an emotion, but a happy state. A happy state. We have to understand that a merry heart is medicinal, but an inability to be aware of what you're feeling can have drastic effects on your body. An inability to be aware of what you're feeling can have drastic effects on your body. By the time that you realize that you're depressed, you've been depressed already. You didn't realize it, but you've already been socially isolating from your friends and family. You don't realize it, but it's been harder for you to get out of bed. You don't realize it, but insert all of the different things. And by the time that we recognize a lot of times that we're in that state, it's already got its roots deep. We cannot, I'm gonna say it a lot tonight, you and I cannot afford to be emotionally unaware. We cannot. You and I cannot afford to be emotionally unaware. And that's the whole part. And that's what you're going to see God talking about in the passages that we're looking at tonight, is the consequences of someone who is not emotionally aware. A merry heart is a good, it's medicinal. But a sorrowful spirit, it dries the bones. It dries the bones. I take you back to my junior year of my undergraduate program. And I'll spare you the details, but I was going through something that was causing me a lot of stress. And I remember one day, my mom's a nurse. I remember I called my mom one day and said, "Mom, I'm having some chest pains." She said, "Okay, that's not good. You should go to the hospital or go to the urgent care." I went to the urgent care and they did an EKG, right? And I saw the nurse do this. And she tore the paper up and threw it in the trash. She said, "It must be broken." She did it again and the same result. This time, she took the paper out of the room with her and came back in with the doctor. And they ran an EKG one more time, and they unplugged me. They said, "We need you to go to the hospital right now." I went to the hospital, and they ran an EKG, and they said, "Xavier, it looks like you're having a heart attack." Now, it wasn't a heart attack. I ended up with a condition called pericarditis, which is the inflammation of the pericardial sac around your heart. But I don't have a history in my family of heart conditions. You know what did it? That stress. That improper management of that stress. Why? Because you are mental, emotional, physical, physiological, spiritual, or existential. And as soon as one of those areas begins to fall off, the rest of the other areas of your life begin to feel it. You and I cannot afford. We cannot afford. We cannot afford to be emotionally unaware. The word "broken" here means smitten or to strike with a firm blow. Dryeth, check this out. Dryeth translates to fail or to wither. To fail or to wither. So if we look at the passage, right? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a heart or a spirit that has suffered a firm blow has the makings to make you fail. To not function the way that a machine is supposed to function. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The word counselor is not therapist. The word counselor there is as a mechanic to a machine. You and I, like machines, need and require maintenance. And it starts with you and I being able to be aware of what's happening. Because if not, that broken spirit will strike. And guess what? Your broken spirit is not striking me. Your broken spirit is striking you, drying your bones, causing you to wither away, causing you to fall, causing you to fail. And you and I have to realize that an inability to be aware of what you're feeling can have drastic effects on your body. I've seen depression in clients, and they lack the ability to see or to find joy in their lives. To see or to find joy in their lives. And when that happens, they are robbed of the medicinal elements that comes from a joyful spirit. It's dangerous. I've also seen clients who haven't been able to see that they're in that dark state. And by the time sometimes that we recognize that we're there, it's already doing catastrophic damage. And we're having a difficult time coming out of it. Usually by that point, we need help getting out of it. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. It's your spirit. Check this out. I'm a therapist, but I'm talking from the Word of God. It's your spirit that is driving the health of your bones. If, I'm not talking about having medical issues. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an inability to be able to grab a hold of your spirit and put it in the position that it's supposed to be, can and will have direct effects on the other components of your life. I want y'all to say this with me. I cannot afford. Say it with me. I cannot afford. One more time. I cannot afford. One more time without me. I cannot afford. You cannot afford to be emotionally unaware. You can't afford it. Baby, you got to wake up. You gotta be able to be more in tune with what's going on with you. All right? We're going to talk some more about why in a second. Next passage. Does God want us to be emotionally aware? Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So this one is speaking more to us when we're managing our anger. And there's some important things for us to remember in here. The first thing is that it's important to have our anger in check. Right? Does it say that you are not allowed to be angry? Talk to me, y'all. No, it says be angry. Angry is a natural emotion. It's a natural God-given emotion that you and I have been given. You better use it sometimes. You better use that, right? But it comes with some precautions. He says, be angry. You're allowed to be. Sometimes we do not give ourselves, and that's where we start to mess up. We do not give ourselves the space to explore and feel the feelings that we're talking about. Last week, we talked about giving ourselves permission, right? You're a human being. Allow yourself to be a human being. But then the awareness piece comes from being able to say, okay, I'm identifying that I'm experiencing this emotion. Because when we don't give space to it, it backfires on us. You're going to hear me say this a lot. Negative emotions will always manifest itself. It will always show up. So you either turn the faucet on or it's going to burst all the pipes in your house and cause a bigger problem for you. You and I cannot afford to be emotionally unaware, because by the time that bump is big enough for you to trip over it, it's doing a lot of damage. A lot of damage. Anger is especially one of those things. So God gives us some important commands to understand from Ephesians 4. Right? This is from your notes. Number one. What's the problem with not dealing with anger, not being aware of it? We're not even talking about coping yet. We're talking about what happens when you're unaware. Number one, there's a capacity for us to pivot to sin. There is a capacity for us to pivot to sin. Be ye angry and what? Sin not. Sin not. Anger is okay to an extent. Once you spill over into the other area where you are now causing A, damage to yourself, B, damage to others, right? You are overstepping a line. The word sin means to miss the mark. The Bible says, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So I know that if the Bible is telling me be angry and sin not, I have not even just an ethical or a moral responsibility, I have a spiritual responsibility to make sure that I keep my anger in check. I have to use it and utilize it appropriately. Why? Because if we're not careful, sin lies at the door. Can someone think about somebody in the Bible where they did not handle their anger correctly and sin lied at the door? Cain. Oh, this is a great example. I want to see who was listening last week. Was anger Cain's primary emotion or secondary emotion? Ooh, who can guess what they think his primary emotion was? He was jealous. Y'all didn't think therapy was in the Bible. He was jealous. And what did God say? God said in the Xavier James Version. He said it. Cain, you better shape up. If you do what I ask you, isn't it going to serve you well? But if not, what lies at the door? Sin lies at the door. And what happened? He rose up in the field and slew his brother. God said, Cain, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? He says, no. He says, well, yeah, you are. But second, the blood of your brother cries from the ground. Because Cain is human, I give him a pass on the jealousy. We all deal with it. Because Cain is a human being, I give him a pass on the anger. What he did not get a pass for, and it caused him to be a vagabond and a wanderer, was the fact that it was not in check. And do you see the great lengths that it went? Destruction. Murder. Emotions that are unchecked are dangerous emotions. And if you and I do not develop an awareness, y'all, of what's happening and what we're going through, you have the capacity to pivot to sin. It gets better. Not being aware, you have the capacity for it, meaning anger, to be long-standing. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I'm going to give y'all a little secret. Okay? The longer that anger sits, the worse it's going to get. Pastor Xavier, I knew that already. That wasn't that deep. Hold on. The longer you let that anger sit, the worse it gets. Here's some psychoeducation for y'all who haven't heard this already. Right now, everybody, or most of y'all anyway, are conscious. You're right here with me. You're locked in. I appreciate you being locked in, right? You're focused. But you have an entire life outside of the hour that you're going to spend with me tonight, correct? You got kids to go home to, preparing for work, cleaning to do, etc., all the stuff, right? But those things are in your subconscious. And what we find out is that in our idle moments, or our moments when we are unconscious, is where our subconscious begins to do its thing. You follow me so far? So all the stuff you stuffed back there is going to get it shot to do what it wants to do. So guess what happens when you go to bed angry and that's unresolved? All night, your subconscious has, or your consciousness has taken the back seat, and your subconscious gets to do, think, say whatever it wants. And you wake up like, I can't believe they did that. Anybody ever woke up from a dream and was mad at the person because of the dream? And you're like, wait, that wasn't even real. That's how powerful emotions are. And if you and I aren't good at being aware of what's happening to us emotionally, we run the risk of it becoming a long-standing issue. And the longer it goes, the harder it is to reverse. Because now it's poisonous. Anger is okay. It's okay to a point, but then it becomes poisonous. You let it sit too long, and it can cause a problem. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. I got a third one. Unchecked anger, not being aware of what you're dealing with, increases the capacity for the wrong spirit to work in your heart. For the wrong spirit to work in your heart. Pastor, where do you get that? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. Neither give place to who? The devil. You know what Satan's most powerful characteristic is? In my book, I mean, I can't prove it, but it's what I believe. Satan's most powerful characteristic is that he's patient. Where do you see that in the Bible? Be ye sober, be ye vigilant, for your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know that lions are lazy animals? The lion more than the lioness. She got a little bit more energy. But the lion, he's very lazy. Very lazy. So what he'll do is he'll see that whole herd of elephants going by. And now, if you know about your animal, who my Animal Planet watchers growing up? I was an Animal Planet kid. I love that. Appreciate y'all. Right? All the nerds stand up. All right? And I remember watching a documentary, and the lion, the herd of elephants, if you know, an elephant is quantifiably stronger than a lion. Like, it's just not going to win it one-on-one. And the lion's not dumb. It's lazy, but it's not dumb. So what it'll do is it'll hide in that tall grass. And grandpa elephant will go, and grandma elephant will go, and daddy elephant will go, and mama elephant will go. And when that baby who's straggling along back there, and they'll just jump right on him. And they'll just jump right on him. Your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And all he has to do is wait for you to trip. He's got to just wait for you to trip. And we have to be so careful. Why? Because we begin to give capacity for the wrong spirit to work in our life. And if the Bible says, be angry and sin not, and then you and I are walking in that sin, contrary to how God says, well, then guess what spirit we're working in? It's not the Holy Spirit. We got to be careful about what spirits we're allowing to govern our lives. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that there was a demon who entered into a house. And when he went into the house, he found that it was cleansed and furnished and swept. And he left and he came back with how many demons? 7 more, evil than himself. Go ahead and create space for him if you want. You and I have to become, and we're not even talking about dealing with it yet. But what I'm saying is that you and I have to develop our awareness. Can I give you some more scripture? Church, can I give y'all some more scripture? Yes. All right. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What we're seeing here is that what we can, so we talked a little bit before, earlier about the difference, the dichotomy of a merry spirit and dry bones. We talked about being aware of our anger, but I want to take a crack at anxiety for a minute. Does God want us to be aware of it? Here's what we have to see what happens. If we're not careful, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 gives a breakdown of some things. All right? So first, anxiety will be present. Right? I personally believe that anxiety is a natural human phenomenon. Anxiety is a response. Anxiety is a response to a what? Who knows? Stressor is close, but not exactly it. A threat. Right? A response to a threat. When that hair begins to stand on the back of your neck, you begin to feel your heart race. You begin to see your chest get tight. You start sweating those palms. Your body, whether it's supposed to or not, is signal firing to you that there is something that is putting us in danger. Right? I believe that is a natural developmental phenomenon that you and I use. That fight, flight, or freeze hormone will save our lives. Yeah? So we need to understand, number one, that it's going to be present. But we must predetermine to not let it rule us. To not let it rule us. Pastor, where do you see that? He says, be careful for nothing. Mean, for God to say to be careful for nothing or to not be anxious about anything means that he's acknowledging that it's a thing, that we get anxious sometimes. It'll be present and we have to be careful to not let it rule over us. But next, anxiety requires prayer and supplication. My therapist hat ain't on yet. We're looking at the Word of God. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. That word prayer means to petition, right? That word supplication means to beg. The Bible says men ought always pray and not faint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says pray without ceasing. You and I have to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Some of us aren't getting victory over our emotions because it's going to sound wild that for Christians, before we went to God, we went to a therapist. Like, ask yourself, Pastor, I'm having a hard time controlling my emotions. Have you been bringing that before God? Laying it at his feet. God, give me victory so I can rule my own spirit like your word says. I'm having a difficult time, God. Give me victory. Give me strength. And here's what we mess up, is that we go to God and give it to him one time. Petition means to stand in a space where we are. You think about it when people riot and they pick it. That's the same kind of thing. Is I'm going to petition. I'm going to ask, to beg. I'm going to come bring it to you over and over and over and over until God does something. What's the acronym? Pray or push? Pray until something happens. God, I'm going to lay this at your feet. I'm going to lay this at your feet. Victory over anxiety from a biblical lens requires you to petition and to beg and to bring it to before God constantly to find victory over it. But check this out. Anxiety requires thanksgiving. Anxiety requires thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication to petition, to beg, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what that's like? That's saying, God, please and thank you. What does please and thank you mean? Please and thank you means that I'm making this request to you and I'm saying thank you as if you have already made good on my... Come on, y'all. As if you've already made good on my request. So when he says with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, God, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high thought and every imagination into the obedience of Christ. Right? So being able to say, God, I'm going to bring this before you with thanksgiving. God, I'm going to go ahead and say, this is a W already. How many of y'all read the back of the book? Anybody read the back of the book? You got all the way to the back? Guess what happens in the back? We win. Which means that in this Christian life, you're not fighting for the W church. You're fighting from the W church. Wake up! You're not fighting for the win. You have the win already. And so if I have the win already, that is now power and ammunition in my satchel. See, David is throwing stones, but I'm throwing wins. I got them already. Church, wake up! I don't think you understand what I'm saying. You already have been given the victory to overcome the things that you are fighting against in your spiritual walk. You are victorious already. Live it. You got to live it. God, I'm bringing this to you with thanksgiving. Anxiety, you got about 30 more seconds before my God shows up. That's what victorious Christian living looks like. I'm not saying you're not going to be buffeted. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that some of us, I have diagnosed general anxiety disorder. I was battling anxiety this week. I was battling anxiety today. But I'm just being transparent because I'm okay with that. But you know what? I understood that this was going to pass. Why? Because I'm victorious already. What's he going to do? God's already got my soul. What are you going to do with it? This is light work for God. Understanding that it's going to pass. That it's going to pass because that's what God does. So when I bring it before him, I can say, God, please and thank you. Because I know that you're going to bring the victory. But check this out. Anxiety requires a supernatural peace. Anxiety requires a supernatural peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? Who knows it? And the? Say it louder. And the? I'm not hearing you. And the? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When it's been 2, 3, 4 days in your anxiety fit, and then all of a sudden you got peace and you can't explain it, guess where it came from? Guess where it came from? The master physician, who is the only one who can legitimately calm the sea of your soul. The only one. Yet you and I cannot afford to lack spiritual awareness. I'm going to give you one more. Look at the Bible, right? Who cares about the therapist stuff? Let's talk about the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 3:4, a time to weep, right? This is, you know, the theme of Ecclesiastes is that all that's vanity. It's all happened already. It's all, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. But he says that there's a time for everything. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. Have you looked at the fact that, I'm going to go ahead and stick these up on there for you so you can write them down. Look at the progression of this. There is weeping, and then there is laughter. There is mourning, and there is dancing. Do y'all see what I'm seeing in this? Do you realize that numbers 3 and number 4 are heightened versions of numbers 1 and 2? Can y'all see that? A time to weep. Right? We're looking at weeping. Weeping gives space just to be sad. But mourning is pure, unbridled grief. They're different. I can be sad. A brother from New York could shed a tear. But mourning is a deep, guttural grief. It's different. But then look at laughter. There's a time to laugh. That's funny. Funny thing. But when you're dancing, that is an external manifestation. That is this joy that is uncontained. I can't even sit in my seat because God is, and that's what God wants us to know, is that if you're not careful, there's levels to this. There's levels to this, and it can snowball in one of two directions. And baby, you got to choose. You got to choose. Your laughter can be quantified into an outward expression of the greatness that God is doing in you and the joy and the bliss that God is doing in your life. But the weeping, you don't know how dark you can go. You don't know how dark it can get. You cannot afford. You can't afford to not be aware of what's happening with your emotions. You gotta wake up. But you know why a lot of us aren't waking up? Because we're not giving space for ourselves to feel what's going on the first time. That was last week. Acknowledging that your emotions are real. Because they'll show up how they want to. Can we say that God wants us to be aware of our emotions? Y'all don't even realize it, but those were only four passages out of the 12 that I had picked out for tonight. God has a lot to say about our emotions. How about he's near to the brokenhearted? A broken and contrite heart, the Lord will not refuse. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. Speaking to all of the different things that we experience as human beings. And even his son experiencing the things that we've experienced as well. Jesus, knowing that he was going to, Jesus in his omniscience, knowing full and well, he delayed, what, 2-3 days on Lazarus? Knowing that he was going to go over there and raise that boy up. And what happened? He wept anyway. We have to have awareness. Let me switch hats real quick. We talked about, does God think we should be emotionally aware? But I want to talk to you about the therapist part. I want to give you, on your sheet you have 8, but I actually added 2 more after that. All right? So if you have room on your bifold, you don't. Hope you brought a notebook. Right? How can you become more emotionally aware? Here's the free game. Here's the things that people this week are going to pay me $100 for. All right? You're welcome. Identify your emotions. Get into the habit of emotional identification. If you don't know what you're feeling, you can't do jack about it. You can't be aware. You can't practice your awareness without identification. So get in the habit. I don't know if it's on all the things, so I'm even hesitant to even suggest it. But there's an app. I know for sure it's on the iOS, but it's called Emotionary. 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 Mm-hmm. And there you go. Thank you, Scott. Emotionary is an app that is geared toward emotional awareness. And once you open the app, I should have added some figures in here. Maybe I'll add them for next week. So that you can see what happens when you click on one. Let's say you picked happy, and then you would click on it, and then it would take you to another list of emotions, and then you would click it one more time, and it would give you to a third list of emotions. So you might say, you know, so it has different options to help you kind of identify what you're feeling. And then when you do that, you can write a little journal entry like, you know, I said happy, but I'm really elated. Or I said happy, but I feel more serene or euthymic. Right? It varies, but it's helping you teach you to understand and be aware of what you're actually going through. But the end all be all is that you have to be able to identify what is happening. Number 2, reflect on your triggers. Reflect on your triggers. I do trigger work with my clients every single day. Every day, at least one client we're doing trigger work with. You know why? Because triggers are going to raise your emotions. They're going to bring stuff up from wherever it came from, and then you're going to have to deal with it all over again. You have to be able to reflect on your triggers. Once you know what your triggers are, you know what to do against them. You know how to handle them. You know who triggers you. You know who doesn't. You start to understand why they trigger you. But you have to, number one, identify your emotions and then be able to reflect on what are the things that really have been getting me going. I don't want you to answer out loud, but which emotional struggle has been the one for you lately? Has it been your sadness? Maybe you're feeling anxious. Maybe for some of y'all it's anger. Maybe for some of you it's bitterness. Maybe for some of y'all, it's the other ones. It's joy. It's happiness, right? Joy's not an emotion, but you know what I mean. Happiness, right? Peace. What's happening? What's going on in your life? Reflect on what's causing those things, right? You got to increase your awareness by identifying your emotions and reflecting on your triggers. One of my favorite things is to practice mindfulness. I told y'all I was struggling with my anxiety today. right? Texted a couple of my brothers and asked them to pray for me because I was having a tough day. Being honest and transparent, right? We're talking about emotional intelligence. And what I did was I spent some time in prayer. And then I went into my mindfulness routine. I was in my office, not here at the clinic, and I started doing some deep breathing, right? Just to help myself not fixate on my thoughts that were quickly spiraling. Right? And doing the different interventions that I knew helped me, right? We don't have time to go through different mindfulness methods, but there's a lot of different ones. There's deep breathing, there is progressive muscle relaxation, there's body scanning, there's tactile and audio and visual grounding. There's a bunch of different ones. If you just look up mindfulness techniques for anxiety or insert whatever you're dealing with, those things can really help you, okay? But ask me about that later. We don't have time tonight, all right? Identify your emotions, reflect on your triggers, practice mindfulness. Fourth, express your emotions. Express your emotions. Whether you think it's appropriate or not, I don't hide my emotions. I don't do it. I don't lie about my emotions either. I do not do it. You know why? Because what it's going to cost me to look brave in front of you is more than I'm willing to pay. Why? Because I'm going to stuff and internalize that emotion. Number one, remember y'all were holding the little versions of you yet last week? Who was in here holding the little version of them last week, right? What you communicate to little you is that what you're going through is not important enough for your attention. And if I begin to believe that what I'm feeling isn't important enough, then when other people begin to invalidate my emotions as well, I'm going to let them. That is no bueno. Listen to me, that's got to stop tonight. But remember that you have autonomy. So if you ask me how I'm doing, and I say, actually, I was mad anxious today. It really wasn't that good of a day for me. And you say, do I want to talk about it? Guess what I have the ability to say? No. For some people, as a matter of fact, both of the people that I told was I was dealing with it asked me if I wanted to talk. And I said, no, I didn't want to talk. Not in the space where I want to. That's okay, but guess what I had to do? It wasn't about the brothers that I was texting. It was about the fact that what I was communicating to Xavier was, number one, that what I was going through was a real thing, that I'm allowed to feel how I feel, and that I can decide when I want to dictate those emotions and not. But just because I tell you that I don't, that I'm feeling something, doesn't mean that I want to talk about it. Because guess what? When I told you, no, I'm not good, that wasn't for you to fix. That was for me to support me. Am I making sense? You have to start expressing your emotions in healthy ways. In healthy ways. We'll save that for another time. We still got 6 more weeks of this. Number 5, practice empathy. Practice empathy. The word empathy means to put yourself in someone's shoes. Does that mean that you understand their experience? No. What you're living is not the same thing that I'm living. Even if we went through the same thing, we did not go through the same thing. I didn't experience your life. I didn't experience your emotions. I didn't experience it the way that you experienced it. That was your experience and yours alone. But whenever I'm talking, I'm sitting across from a client and they're talking to me about the difficulties that they're having, I don't say, hey, I know what you're going through. Bad answer. Oh, I've been there before. Bad answer. What I can say is that I can see how that would cause you some harm. I can see how that would make you feel this way. I don't quite understand because I'm not living your life, but I can see why that would do that for you. But guess what? I have to be able to express empathy to Xavier. We are so hard on ourselves, and for what? The world is already telling you that you're not worth it, that you're not lovable, that you're not worthy of healing, that you're not worthy of growth, that you're not worthy of grace, that you're not worthy of insert whatever the enemy and all of his forces are trying to tell you. And then we have the audacity to go home and tell us the exact same thing. Why would you do that? First, I think you don't know your identity. Genesis, the very first chapter of the book, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's how God starts the chapter. by telling me he made me like him. Scriptures also tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. So God does not make junk. And we treat ourselves like junk all the time. You read Practice Empathy and you started thinking about how you could be empathetic toward others. And shame on you, because you haven't even been empathetic to yourself. How about you begin, I'm going to step on toes this series. So if you're sensitive, don't come back. No, please come back. I didn't mean that. When's the last time that you stood at your own defense against you? We get so worried about how other people treat us, and the biggest culprit behind our deprecation is ourselves. How about you be nice to you for once? Be nice to you for once. Identify your emotions. Reflect on triggers. Practice mindfulness. Express your emotions. Practice empathy. Seek feedback. You know what happens for us sometimes is that we have blind spots. Sometimes we legitimately don't know. And can you hear me for a second? That's okay. That's okay to say, I'm not sure why I'm feeling how I'm feeling, or why I'm going through what I'm going through. That's okay. But sometimes the best thing that we can do is to be able to get connected to somebody who we know sees us and sees us well, because they can encourage you in ways that you never know. My wife is over there. I got to embarrass you at least one time. 4 weeks ago, yeah, I've been counting. 4 weeks ago, Kalea told me that I was a patient person, and I almost cried. Because what she didn't know was that I had been wrestling about not being patient enough with what God was doing in my life, with my tornado 3-year-old, and all of the things that's going on in her life, my own personal goals and ambitions, and providing myself margin. And she said that, and it just blew me away. That's the positive side. But then there are some times when we can give it to the other person, to the other side, and say, hey, what are some things that you're seeing in me that I need to work on? Well, you actually been kind of grouchy. Eat a Snickers. You're not yourself when you're hungry. Right? Being able to give somebody the floor to tell you how you've been doing, for better or for worse. Seek feedback. They can help you see your blind spots. Educate yourself. Educate yourself. Do you know how much, y'all listening to the podcast that's not here tonight? Everybody. Do you know how much a seminar that what you're getting here at Rosedale would cost outside of a place like this? Mad expensive. You're getting 8 weeks of free content and the notes to go along with it. You're not getting that anywhere else but Rosedale Baptist Church. Hey, y'all. But you also have the internet. You have books. And today, in the year of our Lord, 2024, you and I have no excuse to be ignorant. I'm challenging you to educate yourself. You don't know what's going on? Look at point six. Go find somebody that can help you to figure out what's going on. But you got to educate yourself. Learn to read. We're in the age of podcasts and audiobooks. There is no reason to not know anything. Get connected. I'm going to give y'all some free book titles right now. You didn't even ask for this. You ready for this? Book number one, The Body Keeps the Score. Write it down. That's not on the board. This is free. The Body Keeps the Score. Book number two, Boundaries for Your Soul. I told y'all not to rely on that bifold. I told you. Book number three, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Those are just three I'm going to start y'all on. It's time to start getting acquainted with yourself. Ooh, I got another one. Me and Pastor Gibb were talking about it today. Margin. That's a good one. It's called margin. Another one I've been giving out to parents a lot. You can't make me. You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded is the full title. And you'll be shocked that as much as I've been able to help or give that book to my parents, I've been dealing with some adults who didn't realize they were some strong-willed people and had some stuff to work through. Look at that. Y'all getting all this free material. Educate yourself. Okay? Number 8, practice self-compassion. This is what I spent 5 minutes getting on y'all about. Give yourself a break, man. Give yourself a break. We're going to talk about what it means to sit with our emotions in a couple of weeks. The last two that are free that are not on your bifold. Set goals. Set goals. I want to be a happier person. It's not a goal. I mean, it's a goal, but it's not a tangible one. Y'all ever heard of SMART goals? Specific, measurable, right? All that joint, right? So you got to be able to set some kind of specific goal for you to measure how you're doing in your emotional exploration. That could mean doing a rating scale of how am I doing today on a scale of 1 to 7, on a scale of, you know, whatever. Or being able to, you know, there's assessments, or that might be, I want to ask my spouse in a month how they think that I've been handling my anger. I'm going to work on my anger. I'm going to check back in with you on a month. Tell me how I've been doing. Whatever. Or being able to do something like, right, keeping a journal, right? And after you've done a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, go back and review it and see if you can find patterns or seeing, you know, there's different ways, but set goals to see how you can quantifiably track how you're doing emotionally. And the last one, seek support. Seek support. Get with your pastor. Tell him you're having a good time so that you can get a hold of the Word of God and see what God has to say about what you're dealing with. But you can compound that, right? A threefold cord cannot be quickly broken. I believe that every single person in the world should have at least one therapy experience in their life. At least one. And just because you go to therapy, y'all know my position, just because you go to therapy does not mean that you're going to get diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder or schizophrenia or bipolar with psychotic features. 75% of people who go to therapy go for everyday issues of coping and functioning. And guess what? When you go talk to your pastor, that's counseling. When you go and talk to your friends about what you're dealing with, that's counseling. So I'm like, I don't need no therapist, I got Jesus. Then don't talk to anybody else about anything that you're going through then. What's wrong with being a good steward of the resources that God has put in front of you? If you are having a difficult time with awareness, and by the way, if there is one thing that I believe really rivals therapy, it's a good social support system. Now you may say, Pastor Xavier, I don't have a good support system. I'm going to give you a little quick tip. Ask somebody. Ask somebody. Stop being prideful and ask somebody. My friend Nathan Morrison. Nathan, if you hear this later, I love you. When me and Nathan were in the fifth grade, I said, Nathan, you want to be my best friend? He said, yeah, I want to be your best friend. Right? Have you ever seen kids do that? They just become instant friends. My daughter met a little girl on the playground yesterday, and they played for the whole, 35, 40 minutes that we were out there? Like they've been best friends their entire life. You know that those social abilities and skills don't stop at the sandbox. They follow you throughout the entire trajectory of your developmental cycle. If you need support, you need to speak up. Hey, brother, if I'm being honest, I'm having a really difficult time. And I honestly need some additional support. Could you just check on me once a week? I was like, hey, you know what? I really, really need a friend, and my social support system is pretty kind of right now. Can we go get coffee this weekend? Just so that I just need a friend. And at the same time, you can't be here's what we do. You ask somebody that, and for whatever reason, they're unavailable. Don't take that personal. Then we want to shut down and say, well, I ain't asking nobody else, nothing else, because I asked somebody and they told me no, and so people ain't. Don't do that. Don't do that. What you're doing is you're projecting. Stop it. Seek support. For Easter, we had 2,300 people on this property. Surely in a church our size, you can get connected in something that's going to increase your social support. We got more groups than I got fingers. For as many life groups that we have just as many small groups plus some. We have 9,000 services a week. And there's all these people that are here. Surely you can get plugged in somewhere. Stop being by yourself all the time. The very first time, God took 6 days to meticulously create our entire universe. And for each day, he said it was what? It was good. And the very first time that he said it was not good was when man was what? Alone. The very first time. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. God literally crafted the woman because man was alone. Companionship is a multifaceted, I would even say spiritual issue. Social isolation is not good for anyone. Stop it. Stop it. If you walk out of this class these 8 weeks and you're the same person that you were when you came in here, shame on you. Be not just hearers of the word only, but be a doer of the word. For a person who is just a hearer of the word only, not a doer, is like a man who beholds his natural face in the glass and walks away forgetting what manner of man he was. Don't you dare come in here while we look at the word of God and leave being the same person. Let's clean it up. Let God chisel that heart of yours and get you regulated. This is free game. Use it. Use it. You hearing me? You cannot afford, I cannot afford to be spiritually unaware. Let this season of your life be the game changer. Fix it. Fix it. Fix it. No more. It's time for us to start waking up. It begins by giving ourselves permission. I'm going to allow myself to be a human being and then start turning on your awareness. What am I feeling right there? We're going to talk about what to do with that next week. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for your Son. God, I know that you know in your omniscience that you were going to make some emotional behind people. And what you did was with that was not degrade us or cast us down. What you did was take extra precaution to make sure that we are not alone. You said, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord is thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. You told your disciples when Jesus was going to the cross that, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. And then when your Son died and rose again and ascended to be on your right hand, your word says that you gave us the Comforter. Oh, he said, he told his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send my Spirit, my Comforter, unto you. He will guide and teach you in all things. I will not leave you comfortless. From Eden to the New Jerusalem, you are right here and you are present, God. And because you're present, you know us. You know our frame, your word says. You know that we are but dust, your word says. And you took time, knowing that in eternity past that you were going to make some people who were going to fall into sin and have this entire array of negative emotions that were not prepared for us. And take time in your perfect word to teach us how to deal with them. God, I am begging that the people who are in this room and are listening to this podcast later will not leave the same way they came. Father, your word says that your word does not return void. I pray that each individual under the sound of my voice would incline their heart to your word. That they will let your word be a light unto their feet and a light unto their path. That this will be a changing time for people. God, we're going to come to you with petitions and supplications, with thanksgiving, because we know that you're going to do great and mighty things through this. And God, we're going to give you all the honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and we're thankful. Amen.